Okay, everybody, we're gonna get going. Welcome. Hope everybody's doing well. We are holding here in Torah Nun Vav 56 in Likutei Moran, and we just started this Torah last week, and we're gonna be continuing now. In this, this is an amazing Torah. Amazing Torah. I want to thank everybody for coming last night, who came and checked out Rabbi Chaim Kramer, who was here. It was a very special event, Mamish, very beautiful event. And here we are today, continuing in the Holy Torah of the Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman. So let's just do a quick short review with this Torah, and we'll get moving. So we started off with the pasuk about Bikurim, and we'll come back to that at the very end of the Torah. Then the Rebbe said that every single Jew has an aspect of Malchus. And Malchus, we said, from the words of the Rebbe, seems to mean that I have a certain aspect of authority, of influence, of leadership or rulership in the world. And he said, some people are going to have this aspect of Malchus. One second. Hold on. I'm sorry. My microphone is not on. One second. Okay, we're starting again. Sorry. Welcome, everybody. Good to have everybody back here with Torah Nun Vav, Torah 56. And we're going to just pick up without the introductions because my microphone was off. We're starting at the beginning to do a review of what we learned last time in Torah Nun Vav, Torah 56. It started off with the psukim about the bringing of Bikurim on the holiday of Shavuos. And we're going to come back to that at the end of the Torah. The Torah begins by the Rebbe telling us that every Jew has an aspect of Malchus. And from the words of the Rebbe, it seems that Malchus has something to do with leadership, rulership, authority, these types of things. And there's different levels. One person might be what's called a Sorer Bebesoi. He or she might have rulership in their own house. They might be the king of the castle, right, Malchus, only in their house. And then there's someone who is Moshel B'Yoser, who has more aspect of Malchus, more aspect of influence and authority in the world. And then there's one, we said, who has Malchus, who has rulership, authority, leadership in the whole entire world, Kol Olam. And we brought from the Pasuk where Yisroi met his father-in-law Moshe Rabbeinu and saw that he was so busy dealing with that nation that he gave him the advice that he should make different levels of leadership. Sari Elef, Sari Mea, Sari Chamishim, Sari Asaris. He should have leaders over hundreds, leaders over thousands, leaders over hundreds, leaders over 50s, and leaders over 10s. And so that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Meaning to show us, sit by the table if you want, whatever you guys want. Yeah, I just didn't have time to switch it over again from the event last night. Yeah, so we're in a different seat today. But yeah, then there's some Sfarim here also if you want. Yeah, yeah. And so we see over here that there's kind of like a pyramid. You have Moshe Rabbeinu on the top, and Rashi tells us over there that Moshe Rabbeinu appointed the leaders of the thousands, and leaders of the thousands appointed the leaders of the hundreds, and the hundreds appointed the 50s, and the 50s appointed the 10s. There's like a top-down aspect of Malchus over here. Okay? So every Yid has to know that there's different levels of Malchus. We all have a different sphere of influence, a different aspect of authority in the world. And something that we might want to ask at this point, we might come up in our minds, is it stuck here? Can my level of influence increase in the world? Can I expand my reach of authority or leadership in the world? Or is it stuck at one thing? Is that who I am and that's it? It's a good question to ask. Then we said last week that this Malchus exists in the revealed realm and in the hidden realm. And in the revealed realm, it's like we're saying that a person has a certain sphere of influence over the people that he's involved with. And so, if you're the head of a household, so you have a certain influence. If you're the boss at a company, you have a certain sphere of influence. If you teach people, you have a certain sphere of influence, whatever the story is. But Biskasya, in the hidden realms, it's different. In the hidden realms, we don't see that it's possible that a person can have zero influence over anybody in the revealed realm. Yet, in the hidden realm, they have tremendous influence to the extent where you can have such a person who has zero authority or influence in the world, in the visible, revealed world, but in the hidden realm, has Malchus over the entire world. And we mentioned that this is likely, at this point in the Torah, maybe we don't realize it yet, but we're talking about the tzaddik, the tzaddik yisoid olam, the tzaddik who is Moshe, who rules over everything, right? To the extent, by the way, we didn't say this last time, something very interesting. We have this concept that that the tzaddik is Moshe, and it's brought down that when we say tzaddik Moshe, that the tzaddik rules, it's even sometimes against, sort of, if we could say such a thing, against the will of Hashem. We know it's really not against the will of Hashem because that's what Hashem wants. But this aspect of Tzaddik Moshe is something very, very, very good. We say that the Tzaddik is Geizer, the Tzaddik makes a Gezerah, and Hashem is Mekayim, and Hashem makes it happen. Meaning that there's such a thing, that a Tzaddik has such a power in the world and such a strength in the world that can really, it can change things, it can make things happen in the world. Tzaddik has a big power. The tzaddik, we said, stands in the pipeline, the tzinor, where everything comes into existence. So there's something very, very big about the tzaddik. But we don't see that in the words of the Rebbe yet. This is just from the commentary. What we do see is that in the hidden realm, there's a hierarchy of souls, a hierarchy of neshamas. And some neshamas are high up with other neshamas below them, subservient to them, bent over to them. And when that person does something, then it has an effect on those neshamas. This is what we see from the words of Rabbi Nachman. So we have to understand, we don't know how it's going to play out yet, and we're going to see as we get through this Torah what it means and how we interact with the world, how we interact with those, you know, every person we're talking to right now, every one of us, has some aspect of Malchus, of authority, of power over other souls that exist in the world today. Every single person that I'm talking to right now has this, right? And you don't see them, you don't know who they are. It's possible that they're on the other side of the world. So who cares? Why do I need to know this? What does it mean? And how do I interact with that? Why should I even need to know this? Why is he telling me this? Right? So we're going to see this throughout this Torah. It shouldn't take us too long, maybe by next week. But these are the things we have to think about in the beginning as we're getting through these places. We have revealed Malchus, where you're the head of the household, the head of the company, whatever it is. We have a hidden Malchus, where somehow we have authority over other souls in the world, and we don't even know who they are. Very interesting. Very interesting. And this is what we said. And we explained last week, you remember, the whole tree of souls. Now you have the tzaddik at the top, the big trunk of the tree, and then the other tzaddikim come out as big branches, and then those branches branch out into branches, and the other branches branch out into branches. And we find ourselves, we're all going to be somewhere in that big tree. Somewhere in that Eitz HaChaim, we're going to be stuck in. And we have a tremendous influence. Okay? That's what we said so far. And then we finished off last week by giving ourselves an introduction to what's going to be today. And today we're starting at Oiz Beis, letter Beit, number 2, on page 289/288 in the BRI book, volume 6. And we said like this, V'tzarech kol echad livli lishtamish im bechinoi samalchus sheishloi l'hanasir l'tzarkoi. Every individual has to not use their power of malchus for their own gratification and own needs. So the way that we understood this flow over here, right, is that Rabbi Nachman told us that there is such a thing as malchus, and that we have it. Every Jew has it. We all have a power of malchus. We all have a sphere of influence and a power of authority somehow, whatever that means. And it's revealed and it's hidden, and it's there for a reason. Meaning what? We have to use it. We can deduce from this that we're supposed to do something with it if Hashem gave it to us. Since we're using it, we know we have to use it. Rabbi Nachman tells us next, "Tzarich kol echad livli lishtamish." Now that we're using it, we have to make sure to not use it for our own gratification and our own benefit. Don't take my power, my authority, my influence, and use it for my own gratification, my own benefit. That my malchus should not be like a slave that is there only to fulfill my desires. Rak shetiye bechinas hamalchus bechinas ben chorin. Rather, that our malchus should be like this aspect of a ben chorin. Ben chorin means, of course, we usually use the word to mean a free person, right? Ben chorin is a free person. You can have an eved or a ben chorin, a slave or a free person. But we should note over here in the lashon here that ben chorin, he didn't say he's just free. He didn't say he has chirus, like the word we use for Pesach on Pesach all the time, right? Zman chiruseinu. We're always talking about chirus, chirut, freedom on Pesach, right? He didn't say the malchus should be becherut. He didn't say this. He said the malchus should be an aspect of ben chorin, which really means something like the son of freedom, or something like the product of freedom. Okay, you with me on this? Hold that in our minds. So let's step back for a second. So obviously, we all know that we're going to be tempted to use whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us all malchus, the authority. And it comes out in various different ways. It comes out in our position in life. It comes out in our financial status, that people have more power or less power. It comes out in our character traits. Some people have a certain natural ability to either lead or to be authoritative, right? And other people cower. Other people are very timid. Other people don't have financial means. Anything that we have that gives us the ability to have power and influence, this is together making, in my mind, this is all from me, by the way, I'm making this up right now, but I think it's true. All that gives us our ability to have influence. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all our own measure of that. Right? So, he's saying now that we have this and we're going to use it, you're going to be tempted. You know what? You're going to have money. And you're going to be tempted to be like one of these people. I remember years ago, there was a bunch of famous people who got into big trouble because they bribed universities to get their kids into these Ivy League universities. Right? And, oh boy, did they pay for it. Right, I think the kids got kicked out of the universities. They had criminal charges against them, I think, if I remember correctly. Right? It's an example of saying, oh, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me financial means that I can use to make things happen in the world. Right? And, oh boy, I used it. L'ha'anasoi u'letzarkoi. I used it for my own needs and benefits. Right? It's gonna be bad news. Right? And that's what happens. That's one way, financially, you know, you can use it. You can also, you know, have you ever heard of, this is a touchy subject, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, there's a lot of different types of abuse, right? There's physical abuse. Let's say like in a household, there's physical abuse. There is emotional abuse, verbal abuse, and there's also financial abuse, right? So you can have that one of the spouses can be, God forbid, physically abusive, and can use their greater strength or power or abilities to rule over someone else in a terrible way. That's only for their own ego or for their own whatever reason they're doing it for. Right? You can have a person who has a power and a koyach and the ability to be authoritative, and they use that with anger and screaming and yelling and using every word they can figure out to take another person and totally destroy them and shut them in and put them down into nothingness. That is also using a tremendous power. Can you imagine someone who has the power to speak in a way that people listen with authority, and they use it to destroy another person? Why? Because it suits my ego, because I don't want to have to deal with that person, whatever it is, my selfish needs, right? So what do we got so far? We got physical abuse, we got emotional, let's put the emotional and verbal abuse together there. And you can also have financial abuse. And there's very often in relationships where you have one person controls all the money, and they exert such a powerful control over the other person in the relationship that it's belittling and demeaning, and it's boxing them in, and they're put under tremendous, tremendous control, right? This is also a form of abuse. And this is also another aspect of Malchus, having means to do things and the ability to use money to accomplish things in the world. You should be able to do that and do fantastic things in the world, do amazing things in the world. But if you use it in a way that you're controlling and forcing things to go in a certain way because it makes things easier for you, right, at the expense of another person, that's called using the Malchus, l'hanasoi u'letzarkoi. In my opinion, it's not in the words of the Rebbe here, but this is the way that I understand it. So, wow, look out, right? So I want that we should all think, because like the Rebbe told us, we have to remember, every one of us has some power of Malchus. Where is my Malchus? Where is my Malchus? What's my abilities, my talents that Hashem gave me, right? I know you got a powerful voice, you're a strong woman, right? And I know people who have tons of money and who can use it and can make people do all kinds of things. We all have it. Now, think for a second. Where am I taking that power and mamish using it in the wrong way? Where am I ruling over people in an authoritative way where it's only for my own ego, for my own selfish benefits and desires? Right? As opposed to taking that power I have and using it for, we don't know what for yet, but we know what's bad. Right? We all have it. Where am I using it in the wrong way? This is a fantastic Hizboididus topic. Go talk to the Rabbanu Shalom and talk to the Rabbanu Shalom about what are my powers. What are my powers? Right? Think about all the powers we have. And that will help us to develop them and recognize them and be thankful for them and connect to Hashem. But then say, well, wait a second, Hashem, where you gave me these powers, am I using them in the way that you want me to use them? Or am I doing something I shouldn't be doing with them, right? Very important. So that's where we are. So is the Malchus, is my power of authority and Malchus a slave to my own desires, or is it free? Is the Malchus free? Is it a slave or is it free? Like the Pasuk says in Koheles, Ashreich Eretz Shemalkeich Ben Chorin. Pasuk says over there, fortunate is, or happy is the land that its king is a free person. Its king is free. Its kingdom is free. Shemalchus Yehye Etzlecha Ben Chorin. The Malchus should be by you like a free person. Livli Lishtamish Boy Lahanosecha. That you should not use it for your own hana, for your own benefit, right? So it's interesting. At this point, let's just say outside, We have malchus. We can't use it for our own need and our own benefit in a negative way, right? Rather, it needs to be free. It sounds like to me, we have to make sure that we realize that the malchus is a gift from Hashem, and it's not just me. It's not me. This is something that Hashem gave to me to be able to use. He gave me certain koiches, certain powers, certain abilities, and I can't just throw it around the way I want it. That's taking the thing that Hashem gave me, this thing called malchus, and it's turning it into a slave. But malchus is not supposed to be a slave. It's supposed to be a free man, a free person. And I'm boxing it in, and I'm turning it into a slave, right? So I don't know if that's so important or not to say, but it's like the malchus on its own needs to be a free man, and not a slave. Meaning that makes me want to say that the malchus is not me. Malchus is something that Hashem gives to me. And if I don't use it right, I feel like it could be gone. It's not up to me. Right? You with me on that? Make any sense? Yeah? Once again, this is something I'm saying myself from the way I'm reading the words, but it's not directly in the words of Rabbi Nachman. Okay, so let's move on. Now we're going to get to something very cool. So the Rebbe says next, V'zeh b'chinas Mordechai. This is the aspect of Mordechai. Bechinas, mar dror. So, you take the word, the name Mordechai, right, and you look at it, and it says the first part of the word is memresh, which is the aspect of mar, which could mean a few things. One of the things it means is bitter, but it also is the aspect of marut. Authority, leadership, right? And together with the word dror, mar dror, and dror means freedom. Why are we putting mar dror together with Mordechai over here? Very interesting. So when the Torah is listing the 11 ingredients to the temple incense, the incense for the Beis HaMikdash, so everybody knows what the Targum Onkelos is, right? Targum Onkelos is a commentary on the Chumash, which is written by Onkelos, who was a convert, who was an incredible, incredible tzaddik, and made a perush that to this day is the single perush that's supposed to be learned together with the Torah, with the Chumash, Targum Onkelos. So we say, everybody, we have this mitzvah every week to learn Shnaya Mikra Ve'echad Targum. You heard this before? That means you learn twice through the words of the Chumash, and then once through the Targum. Targum means translation. Because Onkelos translated the Torah into Aramaic. But when he translated it, he didn't just translate it. He also gave it an unbelievable, basically prophetic explanation of what it's supposed to be. So even to this day, when we don't speak Aramaic, the purest form of the mitzvah to learn through the Parsha every week, Shnaya Mikra Ve'echad Targum, is still not English that we understand, is still to learn, we would have to learn it two times through the words of the Parsha, then the Aramaic translation, and then the English translation of the Aramaic translation. Right? Why? Because the commentary of Onkelos, of Targum Onkelos, is something divinely inspired, and it's not just a direct translation. Anywho, that's a little bit of background. How does Targum Onkelos translate this Mar Dror is frankincense, and it's one of the ingredients of the Ketores, the incense in the Beis HaMikdash. How does he translate it? He calls it Mara Dachya. It's the same exact letters as Mordechai. So the Gemara asks, in the Gemara in Chulin says, Mordechai min haTorah minayin? Where do we see Mordechai hinted to in the Torah? And it says over here, it's this spice of, I think it's frankincense, which is called Mor Dror, which the Targum Onkelos translates as Mara Dachya, right? Mara Dachya, which is the word Mordechai, which means that Mordechai is connected to this concept of Mar Dror. Mar Dror, once again, Mar means Marus, means authority, leadership, Malchus. And the word Dror, of course, means freedom. So the Malchus has to be, we see from the word Mordechai, not from the character yet, Mordechai. We see from the word Mordechai that it means that the Maros, the Malchus, has to be a Ben Chorin, has to be in the place of freedom, of Dror. And it says weiter, Sheha Maros, Hainu HaMalchus, Yeshla Dror Vecherus. It should be that the Malchus, the Maros, the leadership, which is the Malchus, has Dror, which means freedom, and Cherus, which means another kind of freedom, another word for freedom. Right? Which means what? We shouldn't use it for our own needs and our own benefits. Our own benefits and our own needs. So, I want to point out that we just asked in the previous paragraph, it says that the Malchus should be a Ben Chorin. Right? Should be a son of free people. Or we said maybe a product of free people. A product of freedom. Now, we changed it and we said that from Mordechai we learn that the Malchus should be Cherus. Total freedom. Freedom, Dror, and Cherus. So what's happening over here? What's going on? One of the aspects that we might be seeing over here, and we'll continue to see, is that the Rebbe is showing us a development of the power of Malchus. Right? First we hear about it, and we have it, and everyone has it. Then we hear that it's deeper than that. And that I have it in the revealed realm, and I have it on a soul level, and it connects to other people that I don't even know. Right? And there's such a thing as a tzaddik who has Malchus over everything, and I have a certain Malchus. Then we're told, don't use it. Now that you have it, don't use it for your own gratification and own needs and in the ways that we said it. Right? And so long as you're not doing that, you're going to be having the Malchus in the place of a Ben Chorin. You're working on your Malchus, and it's become the product of freedom. But when you get to the place of Mordechai, on the other hand, he took the Malchus into a state of Cherus, Dror and Cherus, total freedom. What's the next words? This is the key. We already said what the Malchus should not be, right? But what should it be? The next few words give us the answer. Ki im leHashem Yisbarach. It should only be used for Hashem Yisbarach. My Malchus should only be used for Hashem Yisbarach. It sounds like we could say, potentially, that the way the flow is going is that Mordechai was this guy who was able to use the Malchus only for Hashem. Ki im leHashem Yisbarach. And when he used it only for Hashem in this way, Mordechai, it was more Dror. It was Dror and Cherus, total freedom. The Malchus was exactly where it's supposed to be, right? On a much higher level. So in the way that we said before, that, you know, a person can use money to rule over people. They can use the power of their voice and their authoritative figure over people in a negative way, just to hurt them, just for my own ego, whatever it is, right? We're now saying, oh, don't forget, Hashem gave you that Malchus. He gave you that money. He gave you that authoritative, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, presence. He gave you that authoritative presence. He gave you those abilities to connect and to be over people. Now you got to use it for it to be right, in the right way, to be in Cherus. It's got to be used. Ki im leHashem Yisbarach. Take that powerful voice you have now and use it for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Use it for, which we're going to see later on, of course, is it must be used for towards the Malchus of Hashem. Right? This is what's happening. Now, before we go any farther, let's step back a bit, because this is very cool. So if you remember, in the very beginning, we said that the Malchus has three levels. Does anybody remember what the first level of the Malchus is? I'll give you a hint. It was from Megillas Esther. And it was what Haman said. Haman, right, stood up in the Suda of Ahasuerus. Hi, Lori. And he said, I want to make a proclamation, and the king should sign on, that kol ish v'ish, every man should be sorer bebezai. He should be the ruler of his house. And that should be put into law in all the countries of the king. It should become a law. Why? Why does anyone want to make such a law? Why does Haman need to make such a law? What's going on? He was powerless. I don't feel like I need to make such a law. Although there's what to say about that, but but he, you know, the commentaries say in the Megillah that every time he went home, his wife Zeresh would let him have it. And his wife Zeresh was trying to use him. She was the Sarah of Esai. He was powerless. He was a puny, tiny, powerless egomaniac. That was Haman. So he said, let's make a proclamation. Let's make a rule for the whole country, right? I need help. It should be that every man is Sarah of Esai. Every man is the head of his household. Haman HaRasha is the worst of the worst. Haman is connected to Amalek, right? Amalek is the number one worst enemy of the Jewish people who tries to kill us and tries to prey on our weaknesses, right? This is the work of Amalek. Remember, we see Amalek in the Torah, that Amalek attacks the Machane Dan, while we're traveling, attacks the camp of Dan, who was the last of the camp, and who was the camp that all of the weak followed after. This is where Amalek attacks us. In our weak places, in the end, where the stragglers are and the hangers on are, this is where Amalek attacks us, at the lowest place, right? This is Amalek. And very often in the writings of Rabbi Nachman and other holy books, it's referred to as this combination of Haman Amalek. Haman Amalek, right? And there's going to be something very special. I'm planting a seed over here that we're going to see later on. But this aspect, that there's the lowest place. Remember, we just explained that we have all these levels of Malchus. We have the top, and then we have the thousands and the hundreds and the fifties and the tens, right? They're all part of the Malchus, right? And every Jew, we said, has Malchus. Every single Jew. So there's something going to be about the fact that Amalek goes after the lowest, the bottom level of the Malchus. But for now, let's point out over here what the Rebbe is doing over here. He first told us that there's a very low level of Malchus, and that's a person who's not even Sar Rebbe Esai, who doesn't even have, let's say. That's why he used that as an example. The beginning is, the first step of Malchus is to recognize that I have what to take care of myself, right? Have you ever heard this term that we say in English a lot? You know, when people want to go and change the world or save the world, and they're, how about first you take care of what's in your own backyard? You heard that one before? Right? Tremendously good advice, right? Sandra likes that one too, good. Tremendously good advice, right? First, you got to be Sarah Bebesai. Your bias doesn't have to mean that there's such a thing as I have a house and there's four other people in my house and I'm the boss, right? Even if I do it in a nice, good way for Hashem, it doesn't have to mean that. Sarah Bebesai can mean that I'm not using that my powers for my own gratification and my own needs. And think about what that means in every aspect of our lives. Am I using what Hashem gives me for Him to expand His Malchus, to do good things in the world? Or am I using it for me? Am I in control of my own house? Am I in control of my own desires? Or am I a behemoth? Am I an animal who goes and grabs this and grabs that and grabs this and grabs that and eats this and eats that? And, you know, use your imagination where it takes you. Right? Or I'm feeling low about myself, so I'm just going to go and scream at somebody. Why? Because that's going to make me feel better, because I'm going to be on top of them. Right? I'm not in control of my own house. My own house is me. I'm not in control. Sarah Bebesai. My Malchus is not free. It's not a Ben Chayrin. It's an Eved. It's a slave to me. Right? You hear this? Oh boy. So now, go back. Everybody think for a second what we said. We all know that we have something, we have powers that Hashem gave us that are what He gave us to be used as our power of Malchus. And we all have talents, we all have abilities that put us in a place of authority in various different aspects of our lives. And we also said, everybody's going to think now, oh boy, how am I using that in the wrong way? How am I using that in a negative way for my own gratification, right? Where am I using that? Let's all have that in our mind. And now let's look at that. I'm not in control of my house, of my own house. My own house, my own power of Malchus is going this way and going that way, and it's not going where it's supposed to be. That's when I begin to get in control just of my own household. Now I've stepped up from that place of Haman, and I'm at the first level of Malchus. I'm at the first level of Malchus, right? Mordechai is like the polar opposite of Haman. Mordechai, of course, is the hero of the Megillas Esther, where Haman is the enemy. And he is the tikkun, he's the rectification for this idea of Haman, Haman HaRasha. So Haman HaRasha was not Sarah Babesai. Haman HaRasha didn't even have control of his own self. He didn't even have control of his own powers and even of his own household. He had control of nothing. He was the lowest of the low. So what does that mean? It means that his Malchus was totally enslaved to his own desires, his own needs. He was power hungry. What did he do? He took weak people and tried to rule over them, tried to destroy them, tried to kill them. He tried to take money. Everything he did was taking, taking, taking for himself. Right? The whole Malchus that he had was Lahanasoi Latarko. It was for his own gratification, his own needs. Mordechai, in his name, is the concept of absolute freedom of Malchus. Mar Dechai is the translation of Mar Dror, that the Malchus is free. Dror and Cherus. Why? Because he did not use anything of his powers for his own personal needs and gratifications. He was only working for the Malchus of Hashem. And we see it in many ways. Everything that he did was for the Klal. Everything that he did was to help. You see this, by the way, in the very beginning of the story. In this place where Haman was making this decree. Right? What was Mordechai doing? He was serving the people. He was there. He went to this banquet to try to tell everybody, do not get involved with this. Don't eat the food. Don't drink the wine. This is not... He went there. And he was trying to stop them. He was always caring about all the other Yidden. This was his job. He was working for the Malchus. Right? He's the polar opposite of Haman HaRasha. And of course, Mordechai is one of those people that we call who was the Tzaddik Hador, who was the Tzaddik Emes. Right? So just like we said, could it be now that we see that what the Rebbe said earlier, that there's the top level of Malchus is the Yesh Echad, Shemoshel HaKol HaOlam, that he rules over the whole world. That's the big Tzaddik, the Tzaddik Yesod HaOlam. Could it be that Mordechai is the embodiment of that? And he was the Tzaddik of that generation. Welcome, Julie. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Right? So it seems like it's going that way. Because the way to use Malchus properly is Ki Im LeHashem Yisbarach. Only for Hashem. Only for Hashem. Let's go back to those three things, right? The ability to have financial authority over people, right? What do I do? What do I use it for? How do I use that Ki'im LaHashem, for only Hashem? How do I use it only for Hashem, right? First of all, I take care of my family, and then I use my money to do good things in the world, right? I give to needy people. I feed hungry people. I give money for Torah learning. I give money for Bikur Cholim, for hospitals, for whatever I can do. I use my money in a way that is Ki'im LaHashem. Not for me, not for my own gratification, but for Hashem. I have the ability to speak and to have an authoritative presence over people. What do? I use it to build things. I use it to build a Bikur Cholim, to build a yeshiva. I use it to teach. I use it to guide and help other people, right? On the derech of Hashem, on the path of Hashem. This is using it ki'im LaHashem, only for Hashem. All of the powers that I have, I can use ki'im LaHashem. And I should just say, chaver, it's always going to be a challenge, right? You don't become a teacher and then say, okay, I'm done, now my malchus is perfect. No, because then your ego is going to creep in. You don't get a lot of money and then start building hospitals and be like, okay, I'm done. Because you know what's going to happen? Your name's going to be in huge letters. You're going to be like, okay, I'll build your hospital, but I want it to be named after me. Right? So is that for Hashem? Or is that for my own benefit, my own hana, my own gratification, my own ego. It's always going to be a challenge. So we're taking it and we're using it in the right way. Kim Lashem. Like the Pasuk says in Avadia, talking about, of course, the final redemption. Pasuk says, you'll all be familiar with this Pasuk. V'haysa la'Hashem ha'malucha. And the malucha, the malchus, will be for Hashem. Right? We say this, in Aleinu, I think, every day. Aleinu. So, what's pshat is that we see that this is what it's going to be in the final the times of final redemption. It's going to be that the malucha is only for Hashem. We're going to see in that time when everything's perfect, when everything's been fixed, that everyone is doing everything only for Hashem, only for the malchus of Hashem. Nobody's going to be doing it for ego. Nobody's going to be doing it to get more money and to get more power. No one's going to care, right? In that time, what's going to be? The whole universe is going to be one revelation of God, right? And everyone's going to know Hashem. Maleh ha'aretz de'as Hashem kamayim layam mechase. Like water covers the ocean, covers the seafloor. Everybody, just like you can see the water and there's no, you know what the ocean is, that it's clear as day, that it's the water. It's going to be clear as day, Hashem in the world. And everyone is going to be only serving the malchus of Hashem. That's what this pasuk is telling us. That it should be in our lives, that it's very clear to me that I'm only doing what I'm doing to serve Hashem. Only doing what I'm doing to build the malchus of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. The malchus de Kedusha. Not for my own needs and my own physical desires and my animalistic desires and my need for power and my need for money and all those things. Nuh-uh. Right? My turn. We use the malchus for serving Hashem Yisbarach. Dahainu. Okay. Period. Let's stop there for a second. Now, we're going to say, what does it mean? And I have to preface this. The concept that we're going to say is not going to be fully explained for at least one more week or maybe two. Do not take this advice home tonight and use it right away. Okay? And you'll hear why. What does it mean, he's going to say over here now, to only use the malchus, your power of authority and malchus to serve Hashem? It means, dahainu, lahazir elayichiach es kol haneshamos shenichnaim elav. To caution and rebuke all of those neshamas that are submissive to you. Caution and rebuke. Kol echad ve'echad lefi b'chinas ha'malchus she'esh lo'i be'esgalia u'be'eskasia. Every individual, according to the malchus that he has, in the revealed realm and in the hidden realm. Hein im hu moishal be'beisoi, whether he's a person who rules over his house, tzorich lahazir lechiach es b'nei beisoi, he has to caution and rebuke the members of his household. And if he has more authority in the world, mutal alav, it is put upon him, lahazir yoser v'yoser anashim, to caution more and more people. Lefi b'chinas ha'malchus she'esh lo, according to the level of malchus that he has. So, there's a few important things here. But first and foremost, let's not go home and be like, Rabbi Nachman just told me that I gotta sit down every member of my household for half an hour each, and I'm gonna tell you everything you're doing wrong and what you need to do right. And right. Let's not go there yet. Okay, let's see after we get more explanation what it's really gonna mean. Because it may come as a surprise to everybody, but it doesn't always work when you go and get in someone's face and tell them why you think they're wrong and why you think they're doing things the wrong way. Right? Of course, trying to be very sarcastic, because it never works. People are not ready to have someone stand up in front of their face for the most part, 99% of the time, and say, I think this is wrong with you. This is wrong with you. You need to fix this. You need to fix this. Right? Most of the time, unless it's only people who are very close, Shmuley and I sometimes have this relationship where we could say such a thing to each other. Right? But not many people have such a thing. Right? So let's not use that. So what does it mean?
You see that it didn't even work for Mordechai in the beginning.
Why?
He goes to the Suda and he's telling them.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. So that's you're actually saying here, this paragraph, if we were to title this paragraph, the title of this paragraph would be Mordechai, right? And it's telling us that Mordechai is the ideal paradigm of Malchus in its free state, right? And he tells us, what does it mean? It means that I'm using the Malchus not for my own benefit, but only for Hashem Yisbarach. What does that mean? It means to caution and rebuke the people that are under my sphere of Malchus, right? Says Shmuley, what we're seeing over here, that this is what he was doing. Like we said, he was at that banquet where they were doing all this, and he's telling them, this is not what we're supposed to do. Don't. First of all, he said, don't go. And then he said, don't eat this food, don't drink this wine. This is not where we should be, right? And like Shmuley said, they didn't listen to him. They didn't listen to him. So we have to hold on to that thought that they didn't listen to him for the next Sif Gimel, because it's going to come up in an important way. When you're doing your part to try and affect this change in the world and to try and have a good effect on people, and they don't listen, what does that mean? We're going to see. He's going to speak about this. Anybody have that experience? It's a nice one over there. I hear someone who has this experience very strongly, and I see some smiles on the Zoom also. Right? Everybody's wrong. They should just listen to me. I know what you're saying. No. Right? But sometimes we try, and we're trying to do the best we can, and people don't listen. How are we supposed to feel? Yeah.
In this class, are we allowed to make a comment, or do we save it to me?
Yeah, sure.
So I learned a beautiful concept, I think it was last week or the week before, about Les Hiyam.
Yeah.
That it can also mean to illuminate or make shine. From
oh, like Zohar.
Right?
So oh, very nice. Ooh, I like this one.
Yeah. Not just wow. To warm, but it's to illuminate, to brighten. To
that is geschmack. Whoa. Vera just said something very, very special. Wow, I like this. That the word lahaz, so the word, the two words we said over here, to caution and rebuke, are lahaz here, ulahoychiach. So I'm translating them as to caution and rebuke, which is a good standard translation. But Vered says, Lahaz here also comes from the same shoresh, the same root as the word Zohar, like the Holy Zohar. But the Zohar is called the Zohar because it's a beautiful shining light, right? The Zohar means to shine in a certain way, to illuminate, to shine brightly, right? So we can maybe think about this word. Lahaz here, ulaychiach, not only, right? This is our good lesson for today. Vered nailed down our lesson for today, right? We're not taking the words here yet until we understand it better. We're not going to go home and start letting everyone have it, tell them why they're wrong and I'm right. No. That's not the right use of Malchus yet. But we have, because it can only happen in a way. This thing that you just said is going to get so good later on. Oh, just you wait. So good. It's going to hit so many things. But you have to do it in a way that it illuminates them. If you're going to say it and it's just going to make them angry and it's going to make them react in a negative way and create negativity and strife between you, right? And it's going to create machlekes that's not l'shem shemayim, it's going to create argument, then don't do it. It's not meant to be. Don't do it. Only if it's lahaz here, like Vered says, from the word Zohar. I'm telling you, it's going to hit three or four different things later in the Torah. You're going to see. It's going to be amazing. So this is what we got to do. The other thing I want to point out is that something that we've been developing from the very beginning, and that is this idea, and we're going to continue to see it unfold. For those of us who are learning in the Toras Chaim Kollel style, we don't really have this under wraps yet. But for this class, we're unraveling things as we go. So one of the things we see is what is the relationship between Iskasia and Isgalia? Between the hidden Malchus that I have and the revealed Malchus that I have. And so one of the things that we see is that, here, there's a few things coming together. First of all, that I always have the Malchus of Iskasia. I always have the hidden Malchus. And we see that in the end of Siv Beis over here, the Rebbe connects the two together. Isgalia and Iskasia. He says, I have to use the power of Malchus, Kol Echlev Vinasoi, Amalchus, Sheishloi, Vesgalia, Uveskasia, both of them together. On top of that, why are we saying there's such a thing as the Malchus Bisgalia, which means in the revealed state, right? It's understood from that, if you think about it, that it's come. Why is it revealed? Because it's coming from the concealed. Meaning that there's a connection between the concealed Malchus and the revealed Malchus. As if we're to say that what we're trying to do, in a sense, is to always reveal the Malchus. The Malchus is always about always revealing what is on the what's in the hidden in the hidden realms of Malchus. Right? That's why it's called Isgalia. And not just he didn't just say everyone has Malchus and they rule over their house. And also there's something very hidden. He didn't say that. He said there's a Malchus that's Isgalia. It's revealed. Why is it revealed? Because it comes from the place that's hidden. Right? It's an aspect of revealing. So that's one aspect that's very important. But also, the fact that we see over here, there seems to be that there's a progression. And that it's possible to say, even, that these levels that we're talking about, the Malchus of Sir Bebesoy, leading the house, and then the more, and then the top, I want to run this one by you. This is something that we discussed today. That the Sir Bebesoy is clearly me. And the way we explained it, it's am I in control of my own house? My own personal self, am I in control of it, right? So that's one level. Then there's another level after that, where I begin to my own personal level of Malchus, and the Malchus is me. I begin to use that in a broader and broader way, right? I reveal more of the inner nature of the hidden Malchus out into the revealed world, right? And we're going to see later on that it's maybe possible to say also when we're talking about what's the source of the hidden Malchus, it's based on the soul. The soul is like often what we call this aspect of Chelek Elokam Imal. It's my deepest existence is my neshama, which is what he's talking about over here, and that's my the piece of Hashem in me. That's my ultimate power, and Isgalia Neskasia. The Isgalia is revealing that aspect of Malchus that's in me, which is my deepest self, which is my deepest soul, which is that Chelek Elokam Imal, that piece of Hashem that's in me. My whole aspect of Malchus is revealing that hidden aspect of myself. Right? And so, when that first paragraph is talking about these different aspects, it's possible to say that, you know what? Today, I'm only Sar Bebesai. I'm only ruling over my own house. Barely. Right? and you know what? Because that's what I'm able to reveal from myself. Deep down inside, I have a tremendously powerful Malchus that comes from Hashem. So far, I'm able to reveal it just taking responsibility for my own actions, basically. But you know what? I'm gonna grow to the extent where I have now Malchus, I have this control and this authority over more aspects of my life and more aspects of my own personal existence and the world that I live in. I'm able to bring it out. That part of me that's so holy and so deep and so connected to Hashem, it's the Malchus Diskasya, the hidden king in me, right? I'm able to reveal that more in the world to the extent where I can become the Yesh Echad Shemoshel Al Kol Elam Kulay, that guy who rules over the whole entire world. Why? Because it's the whole entire world. It's the whole entire my world. Every person is an olam on their own. Chazal tell us. Every person is a universe. And my malchus can keep growing and keep being revealed more and more and more. And we're going to see as the Torah goes on, there's more and more about this aspect of malchus being revealing. Happens to be also, we've heard in our shirim many times, that in one of the Kabbalistic aspects of malchus, is that it's the place of revelation, of things being revealed. That's what it is, right? So the sphere of Malchus, we all know that there's 10 spheres, right? Keser, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, and Yesod. And then the last one is Malchus. And all the upper ones are really the ones that are hidden. The top three are the intellectual faculties, which are totally hidden. And the other ones are usually the emotional faculties. Until it comes into Malchus, Malchus is the place where all of that hidden stuff gets revealed into existence. Right? It's the place of revelation. That's what it is. That's what Malchus is. And we've said many times in our shiurim that the mouth that speaks, dibur, is, he's going to use these words later on in the Torah also, is the Malchus Peh. Right? Why is it called Malchus Peh, the Malchus of the mouth? Because the mouth is the thing that reveals into the world the will of the king. But on a more simple level, it reveals everything that's going on in my intellect. Right? It comes out through the mouth. So the mouth, in one of the Kabbalistic orientations that only takes the head into account, and there's 10 spheres in the whole head, the mouth is the malchus of that. Why? Because it reveals into the world what's going on inside. So what we're seeing over here, and we haven't fully developed it yet, but it's building as we go. And in this shiur, the way we do it is we build it as we go, right? We're seeing over here that this is becoming a strong definition of malchus, is revealing the malchus that's within me, outside into the world, right? And the Rebbe connected them over here in this place. And he said, wherever, whatever level you're at, if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're here, if you're there, it's all the same thing, right? So we're at 56 minutes here, and we're right up to Siv Gimel. I want to, you know, like I like to do, I want to say the first line, just to give us a little hint about what's going to be. And then we'll finish up. So he says, the beginning of Siv Gimel, he says, V'tzarich lahamshich arichus yomim l'toich ha-malchus. We must draw down arichus yomim, means long life, or length of days, into the malchus. Sh'loi tiyeh b'bechinais harabonus mekaberes es ba'aleha. So the Gemara says, this concept, that Rabbanus is now a third or fourth word for authority, leadership, rulership, being, you know, the word Rav means master, right? Rabbanus buries its masters, right? So we see this term from Chazal is telling us the power of authority, the power of Malchus can be something that can bury a person. Right? And this we know very well. We've seen, all of us in our lives have seen times when we've needed to exert our own authority for some reason that's not a good reason. And what happens? It puts us into all kinds of pain and all kinds of difficult situations. We've known people who have been very abusive with their power and their strength and their words and everything. Right? And it's the same thing. It's using this. And what happens? They're gone. Right? It will bury a person. So we're going to see that it sounds like the Rebbe is telling us that Arichas Yamim, whatever that means, we don't know yet, right? Long life, length of days, whatever it means, is going to be the thing that prevents the Malchus from going south, that prevents the Malchus from being something that buries us. To finish off, in the meantime, before we get there, I want to just say that the way that we got to this place in the Shir, we have to all understand that when we get to this place, we realize that when the Rebbe told us in the beginning that every Yid has a Bechin of Malchus, right? Hashem gave us all inside of us an amazing power of Malchus. Something that is very, very, very much different from what we have in the world. This is our Malchus Diskasya, and we're going to see as we go on how it's connected to this idea. But I want to say that we will end up seeing it more clearly, that it comes from this place inside us, of our chelik elokamimal. And Malchus is the thing that's always being revealed, that we always need to reveal more and more. And I have to know that every person has to know that you have something amazing inside. And all you have to do is reveal that part of you that's inside. Right? You got to be you. If you try to be like someone else and you try to fit someone else's profile of what you're supposed to be, you're doing the opposite. You're not revealing that thing that Hashem gave you. It's you. It's only you. Uniquely and amazingly you. And if you try to force yourself into some other kind of box and to be something else, you're actually not going to be revealing that aspect. And you're going to be missing the whole point. And then it's going to be Rabbanus Mekaberes Es Ba'aleha. It's just going to bury you on layers and layers and layers of negativity. So we should all remember, we have something, you know, a big issue these days is people lack self-esteem. And when we lack self-esteem, it leads us into very difficult places. And it puts us in places that we don't want to be. And but what we do see is it turns people into actors trying to be something that they're not. Everybody should know, I should just be me. I should look deep inside. I should first figure out who I am. Find out by talking to Hashem who I am and what I have. Talk to Hashem about my malchus. What is the power that Hashem gave me? What do I have that's different from somebody else? Where do I see that I have this power? Thank Hashem for it. And realize I'm getting to know myself. I'm getting to understand who I am and what my powers are. Right? And then I can begin to unravel it and to reveal it. And the more I do that, the more I'll see that Hashem gave me something amazing, and I'll have something amazing to reveal in the world. Mirtz Hashem. Tomorrow, next time, we'll start Siv Gimel. Any comments, questions?